This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I'm so glad that you're here this morning. We have a beautiful day in which to come and to worship God. I'm glad that you've availed yourself of this opportunity as we look at God's Word. I'm going to be addressing the subject that is one that needs to be addressed periodically in a congregation from time to time. And the reason is because it's an issue that seems to plague our society. And that is dealing with modest apparel. As Brother Jeff May said, this is bear season. People like to bear it all as the weather starts to warm up. And so kind of like how we maintain our vehicles, we also have regular maintenance that we perform when we deal with issues in a congregation, because this is something that needs to be discussed and needs to be understood, God's view of this particular topic. Last night when I picked my wife up in the airport in Nashville, she was hungry, and of course I can always eat, and so we drove down near the Galleria, and she stopped at that five-star, blue-star restaurant, Taco Bell. We stopped there and decided to grub on down. And as I was eating, Stephanie was facing me, and I was looking towards the counter. There happened to be three young teenage girls come in there, and they went to the counter and was ordering. And I'm going to tell you, their shorts were so short, it was embarrassing to me. And I couldn't help but think to myself, why would their mamas let them go out like that? And then I remember some of the challenges we had in rearing our daughter, and some of the selections she would make, and how it seemed to be tug right there, where we were constantly mentioning, you know, that's just not fitting. You don't need to be wearing that. And I believe that this is not an uncommon struggle. It's one that certainly happens in many households. And why is that the case? Well, I believe the reason why is because Satan uses bait to trap us in sin. The devil is very, very clever. And we are told to beware of the wiles of the devil. He's constantly launching his arrows into tempt us and to lead us astray. He wants to entrap you in sin. And in doing so, he knows those type of lures that you would be subject to falling to. Over in Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 22, the proverbial writer wrote, "His own iniquities entrap the wicked man, and he is caught in the cords of sin." And what Satan does, Satan takes something that is natural and good, and he tries to twist it and turn it. That desire that God has put within man and woman in order to procreate, to have children, which is natural and good, and God has placed it within us. He has twisted that. He has turned that in order to lead us into temptation and sin. James could write in James 1:13, "Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren." And I want to emphasize in this passage then that when a young man or a young woman or anyone in particular looks out and sees something that is initially attractive to them, that could lead them into their heart having simple desires, then they need to take those precautions to steer away from that. Someone has said, well, that guy should not be looking. Well, maybe there's some truth to that. But you know, sometimes when it's wall to wall skin and flesh, they would just almost have to literally put blinders on their eyes. But I'll tell you, young men, that you have a responsibility in this. And perhaps it means that you divert your eyes or you look the other way. Because Satan will use the temptation of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life to lead you away. 1 John 2:15-17. And it's not uncommon then for people to be taken away and to have their soul in danger because of sexual related sins. And the Bible does talk about that over in Proverbs chapter 5. Notice the warning then that the father gives his son about the immoral woman. I said, my son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding, that you may preserve discretion and your lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of an immoral woman drip honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lay hold of hell. Lest you ponder her path of life, lest her ways are unstable, you do not know them. If we're going to assign a text passage to this particular sermon, we would come over here to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Where we have the expression then, or the idea or thought, a modest apparel clearly presenting itself in this passage. So then in 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 8, here the admonition is given. I desire therefore that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel with propriety, moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or other costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness and good works. So as we look at this, we find this expression, modest apparel, found right within this passage, that women adorn themselves with modest apparel. And I want to emphasize, that's not just a Bob Watson thought. That wouldn't just be a Matt Taylor thought. That's a Bible thought. And furthermore, the women are women that are professing godliness. And what this implies then is that we can speak to others by the way that we dress. That the others can draw a conclusion about us as an individual by the way we present ourselves. And we need to fully be aware of that, whether we're a man or whether we're a woman. And I want to point out that someone has said, you know, Brother Watson, that really all modesty is about a heart issue. Now, I agree with that in this sense, that the root of having a desire then to clothe yourself in a modest fashion does originate from the heart. Over here in Matthew chapter 15, Matthew chapter 15, beginning in verse 18. Here we have Jesus speaking. He says, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands do not defile a man. And so here Jesus then, he talks about that those issues like fornication and adultery, which modest apparel then run amok, can lead to those things. Those are hard issues. They originate from within the heart. And I would like to extend that by pointing out that when we clothe ourselves, that desire then to present ourselves a certain way also originates from the heart. Come over here to the Matthew 23, and beginning in verse 25. Let's see what I mean by that. Jesus said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones." And then he goes on to say, and he says, "All uncleanliness, even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy." And so what I think this passage demonstrates us is this, that what's in the inside here, that's truly what matters. What's in the inside? And what's in your heart? If you truly want to be a spiritual person, if you want to profess godliness, that's going to reflect itself when you go to the closet and you select something to wear. Or young men, or any man, when you choose some sort of garment that you wear, whether or not you're a spiritually godly minded person will reflect itself in the choice you make. Notice in the proverbial writer could say, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." And I want to tell you, we must get our heart right if our life is going to be right. We must have our heart right of what we say is going to be right. We must have our hearts right of the way we dress is going to be right. And so what we should take care of at first is right here in the heart. You know, it's not a secret that I was reared in California. And when our preachers in California preached on modesty, it was a totally different sermon. You know, they would talk about that really modesty isn't what you wear. It's just what you think about. And I remember one particular preacher taking this point of view. He said, "No matter where you are, if you are not dressed like the people at that location, then you're immodest because you're out of step with those people in that location." And so the question was posed to them, suppose I go to South Pacific Islands and the men are dressed very scantily, and the women are dressed without any top. Should I dress like them? And his position was, yes. Yes, you should dress like them. Because if you don't, then you're immodest. You're out of step with the population there. But I want to point out that Christians who dress modestly are out of step with the world in which they live in. They should have no desire then to mock and to replicate worldly behavior, worldly dress, worldly thoughts, worldly ideas. And what modesty is all about is professing godliness. That's what it's all about. And so we must get our hearts right. And once we get our hearts right, then we're going to get our behavior right. Remember what David prayed in the 51st Psalm? He said to God, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit with me. This is a prayer he prayed following his adultery with Bathsheba. He said, create in me a clean heart. He knew at the moment when he sinned with Bathsheba, he did not have a clean heart. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And sometimes then, what we need to do is, we need to reboot. We need to repress. We need to change then our hearts, our minds, in order then for the inside to be clean and not full of dead men's bones, so the outside can reflect that. But you know, modesty is just not a heart issue. It is more importantly a dress issue. And I pointed out that some Christians deny that modesty has anything to do with dress. But we could just go back to the book of Genesis, to the very beginning. Genesis means beginning. So let's go back to beginning. Go back then as God was dealing with Adam and Eve. And you may remember in the second chapter of the book of Genesis, 22 through 25, we read then, the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, he brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And notice then, in verse 25, and they were both naked, the man and the wife, and they were not ashamed. And God was not ashamed of that situation, of the man and the wife, Adam and Eve, in the Garden of Eden, in the state they were in. They were not ashamed, nor was God ashamed. But when you get over to the third chapter of the book of Genesis, you see then in verse 1, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And surely they were prevented from eating from the tree in the middle of the garden, the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They were not allowed to do that. But the Bible then says about that temptation process, as we look at verse 6, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, then it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree desired to make one wise. She took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. And then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the Son of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And then the Lord God called Adam and said to him, where are you? And so through this process then, God knew exactly what happened, that they had violated that one restriction, do not partake of the tree in the middle of the garden. But they did. And they made a feeble attempt of covering themselves by sewing fig leaves together. I mean, sure, they thought that they were fully clothed, but they were not. And so what God had to do, God, when we get down to verse 21, we see then that they had to be made clothing for them, because their feeble attempt of clothing themselves with leaves did not get the job done. And so we read then, in verse 20, and Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. Someone may say, well, I thought these coverings at the end of verse 7, I thought that took care of the clothing. Well, apparently in God's eyes, it did not take care of it. God still viewed them as naked. And so God clothed them. He made sure that they were fully clothed. And I want to tell you, sometimes people walk out of the house, whether it's a man or a woman, and they may think that they're clothed. And I wonder if God would look at them, and if He did the same thing today, if He would turn around and He would properly clothe them to make sure that they were really clothed as He would view it. Old Testament times, I'm not going to read these passages, but I offer them for your consideration. Exodus 28, verse 41, Exodus 39, 27, and 28. That's 41 and following. Go ahead and look how God viewed the subject then of modesty in Old Testament times. And once again, God understood that there are people who are partially clothed, who may feel they're clothed, but He doesn't feel that they are clothed. That His view of that would be entirely different. Now come over here to Proverbs chapter 7. Proverbs chapter 7, beginning in verse 5. Once again, the daddy giving the warning to the young man, that they may keep you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words. For at the window of my house, I looked through my lattice and saw among the simple, I perceived among the youths, a young man devoid of understanding, passing along the street near her corner. And he took the path to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And there a woman met him with the attire of a harlot and a crafty heart. Well, what is this attire of a harlot? That means she was dressed like a harlot. Well, what do you mean by that, Brother Bob? Well, I mean this, that she was advertising that she was a harlot. And everyone knew that she was a harlot. Now, I want to say that what probably indicated that a woman was a harlot, and, you know, go and look at Judas and with Tamar and Genesis chapter 38, but what probably indicated a woman was a harlot back at that day and time was probably very tamed to what we see people wear out in the street almost every day, at least every warm day, here in America. Well, what do I mean by that? Well, I'll tell you, you know one thing I've stopped watching this. I've stopped watching halftime performances at the Super Bowl. And why? Because I think it was Rihanna who did it this year. When that person comes up on the stage and they're scantily clothed and you have all kinds of lewd behavior by dancers that are around them that are designed to provoke lustful desires. I tell you, brother, I don't want a part of it. I don't want to see that. I don't want to hear that. As a matter of fact, this year, when halftime came on, I left the room. And I didn't even hear about it until I heard it was either on the radio or I read something about it, how bad it was, how much it was done in poor taste. They don't have anything on this woman who's dressed like a harlot. Now I want to emphasize, this is not just an issue for young ladies or ladies. It's also an issue for men. Now come over here to John chapter 21. This is a very interesting passage. Look at John the 21st chapter. Pick up the reading in verse 4. And here we read a story. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. So suppose you're out in a lake and Jesus shows up on the shore. But look what it says. Then Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food?" They answered him, "No." Then he said to them, "Cast a net on the other side of the boat and you will find some." So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. We sing this song all the time with the little children. But I want you to notice verse 7. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, okay, this is John, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Now, what does Peter do? Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it and plunged into the sea. So I want you to see what's going on here. Then we sing that song, but we don't talk about this necessarily. Then when John says to Peter, "It is the Lord," Peter realizes, I'm not properly clothed. And so he takes on his outer garment and he puts it on. And I tell you, this is a lesson that even I had to learn, because, you know, I told you, I mentioned I grew up in California, and so, you know, what they taught about modest apparel was quite different. And so I grew up running cross country many, many black hairs ago and pounds ago. And so when we would go running on our cross country team, the guys would naturally peel off their shirts and go running. And when I got down to Florida College, you know, I did the same thing. And I was running down one of the major boulevards, Bush Boulevard, and running trunks and without a shirt. And I remember the director of student affairs called me into his office and he said, "It's been reported that you were running without a shirt, running down Bush Boulevard." I think he thought I was going to lie about it, but I said, "Yeah, sure. I never thought anything about it, you know." And so he started talking to me about this issue of modest apparel. And I never really heard it taught that way, or even the way that I'm talking to you about it this morning. I had to make a choice. Was I going to choose modest apparel? Was I going to put my shirt on like Peter put his shirt on, or was I going to be immodest? Just a couple more points really quick. Modesty is an influence issue. We influence others by the way we choose to dress. Have you ever heard someone make this expression, "Well, that's a good boy," or "That's a good girl"? What do they mean by that? Ladies, would you like someone to describe you as a holy woman of godliness? Look over here in 1 Peter chapter 3, and here we have Peter's description then of holy women. And beginning in verse 1, he said, "Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart and the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands." And so holy women then adorn themselves in a certain way. I want to tell you, your conduct can influence someone else where maybe it will lead to the salvation of their soul. And men, I want to emphasize that in the book of Titus, it teaches your influence can influence someone else that will lead them to Christ. When we act like the world, we lose our influence. When we act like Christ, we can win others to Christ. One last point I want to make, and then the lesson will be yours. Modesty can also be a stumbling block issue. It's very serious then for me as a child of God to set a stumbling block in front of someone where their soul would be lost. Look at Romans 14. But rather resolve this not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. Paul said that if eating meat would cause his brother to sin, he would never eat meat again. I can't imagine that. You know, Paul said he would do that. I want to ask you, if dressing immodestly would cause someone to sin and to lead their soul to death, would you be willing, like Paul, to never do that again? And I want to remind you then, the people are attracted by the looks of another individual. And I want to tell you, men are tempted by looks. Jesus said that over in Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 and 28. Do not look at a woman in order to lust after her, because when you do, you commit adultery. And then over in 2 Samuel 11, 1 through 5, remember, King David was walking out on the balcony, and he looked down into the suburbs of Jerusalem, and he saw Bathsheba bathing. He was attracted by sight. He brought Bathsheba into her house, into his house. And then he committed adultery with her, and the result of that was there was life brought into the world, a child who later died because of that sin. He had no right to her. She was the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Someone has said this, that guys like to look and girls like to be looked at. You know, when I was in my high school class, and I don't agree with this totally, but my high school Bible class when I was growing up, we had one of the elders who taught the Bible class, and he said, the guys are on the hunt, and it's up to the girls to put up the no hunting signs. Well, maybe the guys shouldn't be so much on the prowl to hunt, you know. But I want to emphasize this. The young ladies, remember, the guys are attracted by sight. I'm not saying that young women are attracted by sight, but I believe in young men even more so. Do not become a sinful lure to someone. That is Satan using you to cause someone else to sin. So remember, if we want to be that type of person that represents Christ, that type of person that is approved unto God, then one of the steps that we could take is that when we go into our closets and we choose what we're going to wear, then we choose modest apparel. The days are warming up, and we still have a little chill on, but I guarantee you, by the end of May, it won't feel a little chilly. The days are warming up. How are we going to choose to dress? How will we represent God in Christ to the world? We have a decision then to make. But you know, as Randall talked about earlier, we also have another decision to make. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, exchange your yoke for his yoke, for his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Won't we do that this morning if we have a spiritual need? If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, we invite you to do so right now. And you can come forward, you can be baptized into Christ, or if you're already a Christian, and you decide you want the prayers of the saints here, we'll pray with you and for you. Just let your desire be made known as we stand and as we sing.